Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. Emily, on this episode, you are the co-host, and the guest is the one, the only Eric Baker from the M3 Festival. This is the guy who puts the M3 Festival on each year. We had so much fun last year.
Oh my God.
This year is the 10th anniversary. We want to hang with all you guys there. We want you to come down to this just magical event. There are so many great bands: Slaughter, Kix,
LA Guns,
Kiefer, LA Guns.
Oh, Loudness.
Loudness.
Wait. Let's talk about Loudness for a second.
They better have their paperwork in order.
Holy moly. Yeah. This is huge for us.
Yeah. Loudness. Because that was one of the bands we really wanted to see last year. However, everyone was great last year. But
oh, they were amazing. Yeah. But we were so bummed out because they were blocked from coming into the country. They came into the country. They flew. They landed in Chicago and they were turned away because their paperwork was quote unquote wrong.
Right.
Even though it was the same paperwork they'd been using for years to come here and tour. So I hope they get everything fixed this time because we want to see them.
Yes, we do. And speaking of Loudness, the song that brought us into this episode was, of course, Loudness. That song was, of course, Let It Go. Such a good, good vibe on that song. And yeah, so hopefully everything's cool with Loudness this year. And without further ado, let's talk to the producer of the M3 Festival, Eric Baker. Here we go. Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal and calling in again. We spoke with this guy around the same time last year. We're talking with him again now because there's some exciting news about M3, the 10-year anniversary. The producer of M3, the M3 Festival, of course, Eric Baker. Eric, how are you?
Good, Mark. How you doing? Good to speak to you again.
I'm really good, and I'm really excited for 2 days. I guess it's technically 3 days. I'll definitely be there for 2 days. The M3 Festival this year, just a great, exciting lineup. And this is the 10-year anniversary of M3. If we went back 10 years ago, would you have ever have guessed that you'd be doing it 10 years down the road?
Never. I mean, when I thought of doing this and approached my partners, which are IMP, who the promoter on this, we thought this would be something that'd be cool for a couple of years because the 80s thing was kind of like coming back hard and a lot of bands were out playing and thought it'd be a great way to get like the culture together. Never in a million years. Like, couldn't be happier.
Right.
And some of the stories and people that I've met, it's like beyond my wildest dreams.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that I find so cool about M3 is it's not just about the music. I mean, obviously that's an enormous part of it, but it's about like the culture and this community that come together, and there is, it's just like-minded people coming together to celebrate this great music, and it is such a amazing event. Do you get a sense of the community and how important this festival has become to them?
I do. And, you know, it's funny, like every year when we release the lineup, there's always, no matter what you do, there's always going to be some haters. And this year people said, oh, with all the hype of the 10 year, you know, I'm going to skip it, or I don't like the lineup, or I wanted something more. And, you know, the 5 or 6 bad comments outweigh the 1,000 good comments always, because they're the ones that you read and they stick with you. But we had our biggest on sale weekend that we've ever had. So it is 100% about the community, and the music complements that. And that's what's so great about the consumers that come out. It's like they actually care about like one another and what they're doing, and they get together every year. And so, you know, thinking about the community and all the cool things that happened there, it's like on our first day, like we said, hey, where are you sitting? And people are like, I'm sitting over here. When are we going to meet up? And it's like they're already planning their meetups. And we're still 4 months away from the show. So
wow.
I love this community, and they're great. They're great people.
Yeah.
You know?
It's such a great,
it's like you get to know these. Yeah.
And
it really is. It's like, and you get to know them throughout the years and you just run into the same people, and then you'll be like, you know, on the Monsters of Rock cruise and you'll see them as well. And they're just so appreciative that you care about the music and the community, and, you know, and the Monsters of Rock does a great job doing what they do.
Absolutely.
Being on the water. So, yeah.
Now, before we start talking about the individual bands and artists that will be at the 10-year anniversary of M3 this May 4th and 5th, let's first talk about the actual pavilion in Columbia, Maryland. We heard, I guess, on Twitter and on the news that there had been a collapse of the structure, the pavilion. I'm assuming everything will be up and running by May 4th and May 5th, right?
Yeah. Exactly. It's going to be open for the season. And you know, remember, I don't work at the pavilion. We do the show there, but it obviously was a huge setback for the people that were there. Thank God nobody was hurt when they had some issues with the roof. But the first thing they said was that we will be open for the season. And we kind of waited to go on sale to make sure that they were going to stay on track. And they're moving swiftly to make it happen. So there will be a covered pavilion for the show.
Excellent. And is it the same type of situation as last year where there's going to be two separate stages going on?
Yep. Yeah, we're definitely doing two stages again. Friday, there's always one stage, and then Saturday, we do multiple stages.
Cool. I wanted to start with the Friday lineup. Again, last year, Kix, I think did they headline the Friday lineup? I'm trying to recall. I think that they did headline the Friday lineup last year.
They did. And so what we started when we went to a two-day festival, which might have been year three, I think it was, okay. We called it the Kicks-Off Party. So no matter what, it's the Kicks-Off Party, no matter, you know, Wasp went on after Kicks one year, but it's still always going to be coined as like their Kicks-Off Party. They play three shows in the area all year. One is obviously M3. And then they do, I think, a couple of club shows that they do at the same date every year. So, you know, we love the fact that we can bring like a local band that has done so well and has really been a staple for us throughout the year. So
I was blown away by them last year. I mean, they were so good. I would consider myself like more of a casual Kix fan. I mean, I always liked them, never had anything against them, but they actually blew me away last year. They were so powerful. The crowd was so responsive, and it was just everyone was there for them. I mean, it was packed. Such a great live band that really has experienced an amazing comeback, in my opinion.
You know, and I actually think they're bigger now than they were.
Yeah, yeah.
And that goes to how their team has worked with them and how the guys have just really kept true to what they're doing. I remember seeing them in clubs in Boston when I started in the music industry, like in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s. And they were a good band. And so they always kind of had a vibe and people would go see them. But nothing like today. I mean, these guys play all over the country playing fairs, festivals, and casinos. Yeah. And that's it. They play to big crowds everywhere now. And they couldn't do that back in the day. So their team have done a tremendous job with them. But they are definitely one of the things, like, no matter how many times I see them, you're always just blown away. They're going, God, these are, it's like Aerosmith, you know, for Baltimore here.
Yeah, definitely. And also on that Friday night, Friday, May 4th at the M3 Festival, you have Tom Kiefer. Of course, you get his solo material, but you also get all the Cinderella classics that just sound great. Y&T, Nelson, and back this year again, this time hopefully with Tame Me Down, Faster Pussycat. That was kind of an emotional performance for them last year because Tame Me fell ill and they had all these special guests come on, and it ended up being a real cool set by Faster Pussycat last year. But I'm so glad you've invited them back this year, and we'll get to see them with Tame Me.
Yeah, and we love those guys. And once again, most bands would have been like, you know, we just can't do it. And you know, those guys were running around the festival and making calls all day to make sure that they had a set. And that just, once again, like talks about the community of these people, because now, you know, bands nowadays probably would say, well, we lost our single, we can't do it. But not the guys that have been through it all. And they have. And so we're psyched that Tame Me is going to be back. You know, obviously love the band. They literally epitomize, like, you know, what we tried to do in the beginning, being a Sunset Strip kind of glam rock band. And, you know, they've always been that. And so we're excited that they're coming back. And yeah, we actually announced our VIP performance.
Yeah.
I don't know if you even know this yet.
Well, tell us.
Yep. So this year it's Frank Hannon from Tesla.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we've always had like some sort of Tesla band there. They're obviously one of the biggest bands in the genre for us, even though they were never really a hair band. but they've done very well for us. And I can't believe we have a, where he doesn't have a show. He's got the day off from touring. So we're excited that Frank's going to do it. And, once again, he's a great guy. And, if you have VIP tickets, you're lucky because you get to meet him also, and you'll see how much of a great performer he is solo acoustic and what kind of great guy he is after.
So if you buy the VIP tickets, you get like an early admission and you get to see this special set that other people don't get to see by Frank Hannon, and then also meet him. Is that correct?
Yes.
Cool. Awesome.
Exactly. Awesome. Yeah. So that, and that's like one of the things, you know, when you're trying to come to a festival, there's so many people that, and you know, as we get older, that early entry, really does wonders, but in, you know, as well as getting the show, and they'll do a meet and greet after on Friday night as well. So be a lot of fun for the VIP, purchasers this year.
Very cool. And then on Saturday, May 5th, incredible lineup. I just saw Ace Frehley, by the way, two nights ago here in New Jersey, and the theater completely packed, completely sold out, and sounding better than ever. He is one of the performers that Saturday night. You're going to get Kiss classics, mostly Kiss classics in the set when I saw Ace just two nights ago. And yeah, totally psyched for Ace Frehley. Have you been a Kiss fan for a long time?
Been a Kiss fan like since I can remember. Trying not to date myself too much, but yeah, I mean, growing up, like who didn't listen to Kiss Alive and Kiss Live Too? I mean,
right.
Just one of those like records that you, oh, besides everything else, it was just like one of those. It was like larger than life, like seeing the stage show. And I didn't get to see him until I was a little bit older. But love Kiss. We've never had anybody from Kiss play, so couldn't be happier that. That Ace is going to do, and he's going to put on a great show. And he's psyched. I don't know if anybody saw him do, what was it, New Year's Day outside at a Yankee Stadium or City Field?
Yeah. I did not see that. I read about it, though. And yeah, I heard it was great. The New York Groove, I think, right?
Yeah, exactly. When the Rangers were coming out onto the ice, and it was, you know, like 0 degrees. But he got out there and just crushed it. And everybody said that I spoke to that was there said it was great and easy to deal with. And I mean, this is a real superstar. I mean, he's an iconic figure.
Yeah. So. Queensryche also playing, which they're going to deliver, I'm sure, just an amazing set. They always do. The one thing I really love about Queensryche on these last few tours, you know, now that Todd LaTorre's in the band, they're really digging deep into some of that early catalog that they'd kind of strayed away from when Jeff was in the band. So I'm sure you're just going to get knocked over the head with all the classic Queensryche stuff, including stuff like off the EP and, you know, The Warning and stuff that they've kind of moved away from when Jeff was in the band. So it's going to be just a great set by Queensryche. Now, is Queensryche the final act, or is Ace the final act of the evening?
You know, I can't tell you yet.
Okay.
You know, those are one of those things that we try to keep pretty quiet just until, you know, 2 weeks before the show, so everybody can plan, but we try to keep it under wraps for a little bit.
Night
Ranger. People want more and come back and try to listen to us.
Oh, cool. Night Ranger is going to be amazing. LA Guns. Now, I had a suspicion that LA Guns was going to be on before you guys announced it, because I saw one of their tour t-shirts, and the final date of the tour was listed as Columbia, Maryland on May 5th. And sure enough, they are on your Saturday lineup there. They've played the festival before, right?
They played a bunch of times, but never with Tracy. So this is the first time Tracy's going to be playing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny. I saw that. I came across it. I was like, oh, no, not. Please don't announce yet.
Right.
But, you know, things happen. And you know what? I always say, like, any kind of leak is still always good because it brings, you know, presence to the festival. And we're glad they're excited about it and wanted our name on their t-shirts. But yeah, so Trey, you know, they've been there in a couple of different lineups, but LA Guns always crushes it for the festival. And we do a bunch of surveys at the end of every festival, and they always come back as one of the top rated bands.
Yeah, definitely. Slaughter always deliver just an amazing performance. Completely psyched to see them. And last in line, I got to tell you, one of the best shows I saw in 2017 was Last in Line with, of course, Vivian Campbell and Vinny Appice. Just destroyed the club they were playing. So many great Dio classics. I mean, it was primarily like, you know, stuff off of Last in Line and Holy Diver. I'm very, very excited to see Last in Line M3. It's going to be just insane, and can't wait to hear those Dio classics. Do you know if they'll be debuting any new material? Because I heard they're working on a new album.
Heard they're working on a new record. I'm assuming they will be debuting some new material. I've never seen the band. I mean, I've heard the record. I've heard, and I actually managed Vinny for a while in a previous band he was in called Kill Devil Hill.
Sure.
I don't know if you remember that band.
Yeah, with
him
Rex.
And Rex Brown. Yeah. So I haven't seen the band. I can't wait, though. I can't wait to see Vivian come out and play as well. But the records are always so well produced. And I think Jeff Pilson from Dokken and Foreigner produces the records.
Yes, he did.
But I always notice like the production value on these records are so amazing. It's kind of like you want to always hear what's next just based on how good it sounds. But the last record was great. And so I'm hoping this one is just as good. But yeah, I can't wait to see them.
And, you know, last year, if I had one little disappointment, it was that we were hoping to see Loudness. I know there was some mix-up, I guess, at the border getting them into the country, and they ended up having to cancel the gig last year at the M3 Festival. But they're listed as playing on May 5th this year at the M3 10-year anniversary. Are their papers in order? I guess that's the big question. You're confident they're going to be able to get into the country this year?
I am told that their papers are in order. Now, I guess they had the same problem a few years ago when they played, but we actually helped them get through. This was too late for us to do anything last year.
Right.
But they gave me a guarantee that we would not be running into the same problems.
Okay, good. And that's going to be just amazing, because Loudness, really, they don't get over here that much. And it's, you know, I've seen all these bands usually dozens of times. I've never seen Loudness. Like, I've been a fan since I was, you know, 15 years old in 1985. So completely psyched to see Loudness and can't wait for that. Lynch Mob, of course. We heard Oni recently left Lynch Mob. Any idea who will be fronting the band for Lynch Mob?
You know, I don't know who will be fronting at the festival. I did speak to George about it, and he's like, it's going to be a great show no matter what. And I do trust it. No matter who George picks to sing, it will be a great show. I heard Robert Mason's doing Monsters of Rock. Who sings with Warren.
Okay, yeah, and also sang on some of those Lynch Mob records too, yeah.
Exactly, so it makes sense, but I don't know if Robert has a gig that day or if Warren does, so I'm not sure, but, you know, it's always great to see Robert. He's a Jersey guy also, so.
Yes.
Always happy to see the Jersey folk at M3.
Cool. And also rounding out that night, we got Pretty Boy Floyd, who's always great, Tyketto. And has there been any discussion, and I know last year, like, Eddie Trunk and Lita Ford were, like, kind of the hosts, and the year before that, I think you had, like, Eddie Trunk and Bobby Brown and Tawny Katane, you know, kind of the MCs, if you will. Will there be an MC announced for this year?
Yeah, I mean, we're always talking to Eddie, because we love Eddie, and he's been such a great supporter of the festival, not just at the festival, but also on his radio shows, and you know, and he talks about, so I'm, you know, once again, another Jersey boy. I've known him forever. So love to see Eddie there. And Frank will hang out and do some intros as well.
Cool.
And we're working on a couple other people to see if they're available. You know, I'd love to maybe get a comedian, one of the great comedians from that time, to step in and maybe do something in between.
Like a but Dice one of the things Clay we did, something?
You know, Dice, I'm not sure he's going to want to MC, but yeah, in that kind of vein. Someone, okay. I'd love to see Dice there, but I'm not sure if he'd want to do it.
Right.
Okay. And he's got a pretty busy schedule with his shows as well. His shows and also his TV series on Showtime. I think it's Showtime, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Not sure. Yeah. So who knows, but we're talking to a bunch of people, and we're always getting approached, by like people that like manage, you know, icons, even if they don't fit, they still could be something that's cool and novelty. But one of the things we did different this year is we found out that a lot of people wanted more time to get from stage to stage. So we made a ton of adjustments basically in the amount of bands that we can have. So bands could play longer sets and then have more time to go to the other stage as well.
Okay.
And so I got, we're trying to like figure out a right balance of, you know, how much you want people talking on stage in between the sets. So we'll figure something fun out though.
Cool. And once again, we're talking about the M3 Rock Festival with the producer of the festival, Eric Baker. Tickets are available through Ticketfly.com, right, Eric?
Yes, sir.
And again, there's a Facebook page. The M3 Facebook page is M3 Rock Fest on Facebook. So definitely check that out. And yeah, I'm totally psyched to join you once again down there, Eric. And thank you for doing this for us fans every year. I'm sure it's a ton of work, but we really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I'm glad you're coming down again and looking forward to hanging with you.
Absolutely. Cool. All right, Eric, well, thank you again for talking with Talking Metal, and we will be there hopefully doing some interviews again backstage, shooting some stuff, and providing coverage of this great festival, which celebrates its 10th year anniversary this year in 2018. Thank you, Eric. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Appreciate it.
See you there.
Yep, see you later.
Wreck. If the devil wants to play his card game now, He's gonna play without an ace in his deck.
A little Ace Frehley here on Talking Metal. Can't wait to see Ace. We just saw him in New Jersey. And
incredible.
Yeah, as always. And we will see him again shortly at M3. Can't wait. Ace Frehley, Rock good, Soldiers, classic
this
stuff.
It's such a good vibe at that festival. I love right. This festival.
Yes.
And that's all about Eric. I mean, because he kind of creates all the momentum and all kind of like the energy around it is his responsibility, and it works so well every year.
Yeah, it's always such a great time. And please come up and say hello to Emily, myself, our good buddy Ian McCurdy will be there with us working the Talking Metal thing while we're down there doing interviews and hanging out and enjoying the show. And John will be there too. I don't know if he'll be doing much Talking Metal because he'll be working with Ace. Yeah. But it'll be great to have the four of us reunited there for the second year in a row. Of course, the 10th anniversary of the M3 Festival, which if you've never been to it, now's the time to get there. And we will see you there. Buy your tickets at Ticketfly. We'll have that link through today's show notes on TalkingMetal.com and TalkingRock.net. Emily, you know, back in December, I got to go into the city and Chip, Judas Priest's publicist, and Scott Travis, the drummer of Judas Priest, they played me the whole new Judas Priest record, Firepower. And I took notes on the record, and I had lost the notes, and I just found them. So knowing that everything...
Where were they? In the bedside
they
table?
They were in the bedside table.
What in the hell?
Knowing,
that's kind of random.
Yeah, knowing that they've now announced, I was told not to tell anybody the song names, but knowing that all the songs have now been announced and there's two songs that
they
have actually been released.
They released a single today.
Yeah, the title track for Firepower, that's the second single they've released off the record. Lightning Strikes, it was the first one. Those are the two lead-off tracks on the record. But here's my notes that I just found. So, so let's see. I put the second song. These are notes I took while listening to the record. The second song off the album is the music video, Lightning Strikes. You guys already know that. Production sounds more in your face and warmer than Redeemer of Souls. A bigger sound, a clearer sound. The guitar sound is incredible. These are my notes I wrote while listening to the record. The song Firepower, great. Then I have down, what is that? See, they didn't play them for me in order. It was like on shuffle. Spectre is one of the songs. Timeless metal classic, I wrote. And I quoted some of the lyrics. This tyrant takes its toll. I mean, that's classic Halford. I mean, mm-hmm. You go back to the song Tyrant, you know. This tyrant takes its toll. Great lyrics in the song Spectre. Evil never dies, hooky. And beware, there's an evil in the night is part of Evil Never Dies. You know, Touch of Evil, the word tyrant. This is a classic Judas Priest record that definitely nods to the past, guys. It's great stuff. No Surrender sounds like something right off of Point of Entry.
And Screaming.
Or Screaming. I love this song, No Surrender. Yeah. One of my favorite songs.
I'm down.
After hearing the record, you know, John Wiederhorn, our good friend, was just over here at the house. We were jamming in
Has
the,
he ever,
the
so explain
room.
Who he is. He's written a lot of biographies for rockers.
He's written a lot of biographies. He wrote Scott Ian's book. He wrote Al from Ministry's book. He wrote a book on the history of heavy metal.
Cool,
louder,
dude.
Louder.
So smart.
Louder Than Hell was that book, The History of Heavy Metal. Great read, as well as dozens of other books. And he's working right now. I don't know if I should say it because I don't think it's publicly been announced, but he's working right now on a super big rock stars book. Super big.
So excited for him.
Yeah. So I would call him a 90s era new metal king, if you will. He's helping this guy write his book, and they are shopping it to labels now. So, but anyways, John was over, and he writes for Rolling Stone, Revolver, everybody, you know, but he was over at our house the other day, and he and I were talking about how great this Judas Priest record is. And
was he there that day doing press?
He was there that day. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He was there that day. Yes. We didn't hear the record together. I actually heard it before him. I stand by my belief that I'm one of the first people to ever
in the world.
Record. Yeah, because I was there in the morning. Do you remember?
Told you. They're like, you're probably the first person in the world to ever hear this record.
The first guy in the first day of press in New York City, way back on December 6th. So anyways, No Surrender, just an amazing classic Priest sound on this one. One of my favorites off the record. Sea of Red, this has some softer vocals, some incredible vocals. This is what I'm reading off my notes. It's a simple but beautiful and powerful vibe. Very 1970s vibe. Epic.
Like it.
This again was Sea of Red, which is the song that closes the record. And you know, you think back to some of those classic Priest songs, like mm-hmm. with the some of the slower songs and the epic songs at the end of the record. Oh boy, here we go. Never the Heroes. I put hooky, more of a painkiller feel, more of a painkiller album feel. I don't know what that means, but anyways, Necromancer.
Yeah,
is that what that says?
Necromancer. Yep. Yeah.
Necromancer. I wrote nothing next to that, so I don't know. Maybe I was just so blown away by that song I couldn't even move the pen. I don't know. That's interesting. Children of the Sun. Again, a very classic metal sound just to the name. I mean, Children of the Sea or Children of the Dam comes to mind, Maiden and Sabbath. But I put nice mud. Oh, I can't read my own writing. Nice. It says there's a key change in that song. So I don't know. I wish I could read my own writing. On that
nice
one.
Nice modulation.
Oh, nice modulation. Yeah.
I can read your writing better than you can.
Yeah. Nice modulation.
You spelled it wrong, but I still figured it out. It's like reading my kid's homework.
Well, all right. Guardians. Guardians. Piano gives way to a Queen-esque guitar sound. And that's the intro. Guardians, if you look at the set, the songs from the album, Guardians is listed as its own track. However, it's really just a short instrumental intro into the next song, which is Rising from Ruins, which is just an epic, great song.
Gives way to Queen guitar sound.
From what I remember, Guardians has that kind of harmony, Brian May, Queen guitar sound.
Love it.
The piano starts with piano and then goes into that. And then it's actually like an intro into Rising from Ruins. Flamethrower, again, no notes next to that. Traitor's Gate, mellow intro into heavy riff. Anyway, so there's my one page of notes on the new Judas Priest record, and we'll end the episode there. Emily, thank you so much for joining us. You did a great job with that Tommy London interview on Talking Rock. If people haven't heard that,
check it out.
Yeah, go over to Talking Rock. Just go to talkingmetal.com or talkingrock.net and go into the podcast section. Go to Talking Rock, and there you will find an episode that includes an interview with Tommy London that Emily did. It just is the Tommy London episode.
You know what I'm excited about, though?
What's that?
To recap our Judas, after we see Judas Priest.
Yes.
In March.
In March, coming soon.
I can't wait for that episode.
It's February already. Wow. Can't wait.
It's
and I can't
be
wait for the new Judas Priest record in March. That's a great place to end this episode with a little Judas Priest. This is the first single they released off the new records. There are now two songs out off of that record. This is Lightning Strike. I think I may have said Lightning Strikes earlier, not to be confused with Lightning Strikes.
Lightning
was Loudness,
crashes.
Right? And Loudness had a song Lightning Strikes. And I believe Ozzy had a song Lightning Strikes too. Anyways, this is and possibly Aerosmith had a song, Lightning Strike or Strikes. We're going to have to look those up. But anyways, the Priest one is definitely Lightning Strike, singular. And this is it here on Talking Metal. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll talk to you soon.